Welcome into Eagles 360. I'm Fran Duffy, and I'm joined to my left by a man who needs no introduction, Eagles legend Brian Westbrook. And Brian, a little bit of uncharted territory here for Eagles fans. We haven't lost a game now here in Philadelphia for over 10 weeks, but now that we're a few hours removed from the loss out in Seattle, initial takeaways, a lot of what-ifs in this game.
Certainly an awful lot of what-ifs. I think our team was flying high coming into this game, and after you listen to Doug Peterson after the game, he said they didn't have a very good week of practice. They didn't seem very prepared, and they started slow. All those things are certainly recipes for disaster.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the stats overall in this game, you know, over 100 yards in terms of yards differential for the Eagles in their favor. Time of possession, the Eagles win. Third down, kind of a wash. Comes down to two numbers. Turnovers, the Eagles turned it all over twice, Seattle zero times, and then down in the red zone, 0-for-2 in the red zone, Seattle 3-for-3.
This football can really be a simple thing. If you turn the ball over and the other team doesn't, then at that point you're going to lose a football game. We had great opportunities. We turned the ball over going into the end zone. Those things came back to haunt us. We weren't able to overcome it. Really, this is one of the first games that we've had in a long time that we had a mobile quarterback that was able to get outside of the pocket, be able to throw inside of the pocket. He made us pay for a lot of the mistakes that we made.
Yeah, let's transition now, talking into this about this Eagles offense in a segment presented by Golden Nugget, where Philly gets engaged. And, Brian, let's start with the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Obviously, not his best performance. He came out a little bit flat, never really looked comfortable in that first half against Seattle, but I thought he bounced back, strong second half. Overall thoughts on his performance in this game?
Well, I think you're right. Carson did bounce back in the second half. I think when you come out, and what this team has done very, very well, is come out strong in the first half. Unfortunately, Carson just wasn't as accurate as he normally is in the first half, and I think because of that, Doug Peterson had to change some of his play calls. He wasn't as aggressive as a play caller, and the offense suffered because of that. And now you're going into the second half, and you're saying, we have to throw everything at the wall, and let's go out there and try to make something happen. And Carson Wentz responded. That's what you kind of want from a young quarterback. Unfortunately, it just was a little bit too much. It wasn't enough, and it was a little bit too late.
Yeah, it was early in the second half of that opening drive, and you kind of see him make some of those throws where you say, There's Carson Wentz. You see that throw he made to Nelson Agholor in the fourth quarter where he's got a defender draped over him and he makes a throw on a line 50-plus yards down the field. You wish you just saw a little bit more of that early in the game.
It just seemed like early on he wasn't comfortable. He wasn't comfortable in the pocket. And one of the things that we talk about on the defensive side of the ball all the time is not allowing quarterbacks to be comfortable inside of the pocket. And last night it looked like Carson was never quite comfortable inside of that pocket. And I think some of those throws, especially early on in the game, were a result of him not being comfortable.
And I think what you saw the coaching staff and Doug Peterson do early in that game, like you mentioned, he came out a little bit flat. Mm-hmm. They start getting the run game going. Yes. You see Jay Ajayi, you see LeGarrette Blount. What were your thoughts seeing them run the football early in that first half?
Well, I'm glad they got their run game going. I think they did a very good job with that. You wish it just turned into points. At the end of the day, you can run up and down the field, but if you're not getting touchdowns, which we've been very good at getting touchdowns instead of field goals, then it really is all for nothing. And so this team, we didn't score the touchdowns that we needed. You were right. 0-for-2 in the red zone. You can't win in a treacherous environment in Seattle and turn the ball over if you're not scoring touchdowns.
The margin for error when you go into a place like CenturyLink, it's very, very small. Last week, Zach Ertz becomes the first Eagles receiver to pull in over 100 yards receiving. So what do you get this week? Nelson Agholor follows that up, another Eagles receiver over 100 yards. And I just think the story of Nelson Agholor, who last year at this time in CenturyLink Field, probably rock bottom of his career with the performance out there against the Seahawks, comes back 141 yards, a touchdown in this game. What did you see from Nelson this week?
Nelson is the most explosive offensive weapon that this team has. And I think we can get him the ball. He caught 7 balls yesterday. We could have threw him the ball. He could have caught another 7 balls. I think he's that type of player. If you get him in space, he can be explosive. He can make big plays. I think as the season continues to progress, and I know we've had an awful lot of games already, but as this season continues to go on, Doug is going to have to try to find a way to get one-on-one matchups. Byron Maxwell yesterday, you got to take advantage of him. He's a guy that cannot cover very well. I think Nelson Agholor probably should have got 12 balls yesterday because Byron Maxwell was checking him. He's not very good in coverage.
And then when you look on the other side, Alshon Jeffrey, before the game on Saturday, big news, he signs his 4-year extension. I guess outside of the game, he had 4 catches, over 15 yards per reception against the Seahawks. What do you think overall on the extension for number 17?
Well, I'm happy for him. I think it was a big-time deal, and it gives Carson Wentz a bit of security. He's going to have the same guys on the outside being able to catch the ball. Now you have the ability to build that relationship through the offseason. And Carson and the receivers do a great job of that throughout the offseason. And that's a good thing. I think Howie's trying to take the same type of playbook that Joe Banner had. When you see a guy that's going to be productive on your football team for a long time, you try to sign them early before they hit free agents.
Yeah, I think you could say the same about Timmy Jernigan. Yes, they trade for him, and you see he is such a great fit in this scheme. Make sure we lock him up.
You know, the weird thing, and I think Howie and Andy Wydell and Joe Douglas have done a great job of this, of bringing in the right type of guys, guys that love football, guys that want to go out and practice, perfect their game every single day. And now you have guys that are not complaining about anything. Alshon certainly could have complained about not touching the ball enough or not getting enough looks. He hasn't said anything. He just goes out there and competes every single weekend and has certainly made this team better.
This offense and the offensive line in particular had a huge test with the Seattle front seven and everything that they offer. Doesn't get much easier this week against the L.A. Rams because the Rams rank third in the NFL right now, 37 sacks for that outfit. You've got Aaron Donald on the inside, who's one of the best interior disruptors in the NFL. You've got Robert Quinn, Michael Brockers, a lot of dangerous threats up front for this Rams defense.
The most important thing, and we talked about it, talking about the Seattle game, but the most important thing for our offense is making sure that Carson Wentz is comfortable. If that means max protection, leaving the backs in, leaving the tight ends in, allowing Carson to get his feet underneath them early on in the football game, that's what we have to do. We just need to make sure that either, one, he gets the ball out of his hands early, or we're max protecting and blocking it up so that he's comfortable in the pocket. If this team wants to win, Carson has to be comfortable. He wasn't comfortable against Seattle.
So we've got a lot to break down here on the rest of the show. We're going to take a look at the defensive performance, the special teams as well at the end. But first, on the other side of this break, we're going to go into the film room with Greg Cosell in the All-22 review presented by the Community College of Philadelphia. On the other side, right here on Eagles 360. Eagles High School Football Showdown presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson celebrates local high school football teams and coaches. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/showdown to vote for this season's Coach of the Year.
He's told that joke a million times, and you always laugh like you're hearing it for the first time. At Lincoln Financial, we get there are some responsibilities of love you gotta do on your own, and some you shouldn't have to shoulder alone, like ensuring he's well taken care of, even as you build your own plans for retirement. See how Lincoln can help protect your savings from the impact of long-term care expenses at LincolnFinancial.com.
Don't overpay for your diamonds. For more than 30 years, Golden Nugget Jewelers has been cutting and polishing the most beautiful ethical diamonds in the world and selling them at factory direct prices. We are proud to be the only authorized dealer in Philadelphia for Tacori, Verragio, and Michael M.
And a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Check out our 5-star reviews online, then visit us on Jewelers Row and see why we sell more loose diamonds than any other retailer in the tri-state area. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
All right, so earlier in the show, we talked about Nelson Agholor and the performance he had against the Seahawks. Well, let's jump inside the film room with the All-22 review presented by the Community College of Philadelphia and check out Nelson's touchdown, courtesy of Greg Cosell.
Carson Wentz and the Eagles offense, after a very difficult first half, came out in the second half and they started moving the ball through the air. Wentz started looking like he's looked for the majority of this season, started putting up big second half numbers, started making plays off movement with his legs, getting the ball downfield. We saw him do that early in the fourth quarter, and it set up the Eagles' touchdown, the Eagles' only touchdown of the game. And what you see here as we run this is you're going to see Wentz. He's in the gun right here, and you're going to see his movement. He's a very good mover. Now he moves to his right to deal with the pressure and then throws the ball back to his left. So let's see that part of the play as we run this. You're going to see him now feels the pressure, steps to his right. That's pocket movement. He's not really running out of the pocket, and he throws it to Agholor for a touchdown. Agholor had a big game, but let's see how that worked now. Here's Agholor right here, and here's Torrey Smith. So now what's going to happen? Let's clear this. Agholor does a really, really good job right here. It's Agholor and Smith working together, freeze it right here. But what also happens, which is critical, there's a little bit of a natural rub element right here as well with Smith. But the key thing, because of Wentz's movement to the right, is Byron Maxwell. Look where his vision is. There's Maxwell. His vision is over there. But remember, he has Agholor man-to-man, so he loses him, and Agholor will go around here, and Maxwell cannot get through Smith. So that's what happens because of Wentz's movement. So we can run this. You see exactly what happens. Maxwell's got his eyes in the backfield, and Agholor scores. That turned out to be the Eagles' only touchdown of the game in a tough 24-10 loss.
Great stuff, Greg. And now we're going to take a look now at this play, Brian. And really what I thought was an interesting concept there from Doug Peterson. And you mentioned 0-for-2 in the red zone in this game. They're in the fringe area right now, or just outside the 20-yard line. But a really interesting concept, a little bit of a rub element to get him free down the sideline.
We always on offense call it rub. Truthfully, it's a pick. I think Torrey just got just enough of Byron Maxwell to kind of give Nelson some space. But it's a great concept, a great design by Doug Peterson. And again, I think in these areas, Doug has done a great job of making sure that the play design fits the guys that he has. Nelson did a great job of running around. Carson bought some time, found his receiver. Great catch by Nelson. Again, he's back in Seattle where things fell apart for him last year. Did a great job scoring his touchdown.
Yeah, and you saw Carson really kind of help create that as well. You see him step out of that pressure, step up into the pocket against the teeth of the rush from that Seattle defense. When you have a quarterback like that that's able to create, and we saw that a number of times in this game. I know you played with one, and Donovan McNabb, who was excellent at that. What does that do for the receivers in that offense?
Well, that just tells the receivers, stay open, stay alive, because if you continue to run and you're open, I will find you. That's the greatness of Carson Wentz. When he is on target, when he's accurate, he can find all the receivers on the field. And for a defense, that really, really hurts you because you have to play the entire width and length of the field, and it's hard for defenders to do that for a long period of time. Carson makes plays with his legs. We saw Russell Wilson do it last night. Carson Wentz has that same type of ability.
Yeah, you alluded to it. Russell Wilson is just outstanding at creating in the backfield, finding receivers downfield, and he did that on their final touchdown, a big throw to J.D. McKissic on the left side of the field. Let's break that down. All 22 review, again, presented by the Community College of Philadelphia.
Following the Eagles' touchdown drive to make it 17-10, the Seahawks came back and they had a great drive of their own, and it ended with a touchdown that wrapped up this game, making it 24-10. And what they did is they went out of an empty set. You see Russell Wilson in the backfield by himself. This was a major part of the Seahawks game plan in this game, as it has been all season. And what they did here is they have J.D. McKissic, who's a combination receiver running back, used to lining up detached from the formation. Now, the Eagles got stuck here. This is Michael Kendricks, a linebacker. That's a matchup that the Seahawks wanted. So what you get here is McKissic running what we call sluggo. It's a slant and go. So let's clear it, and we'll take a look at just what happens here. You'll see McKissic up top right there. He's going to break inside. He's going to break right in here. Kendricks has his eyes right on him. He's going to jump hard inside, reacting to the slant part of the sluggo. So let's clear it. You'll see that. And then it becomes sluggo. Slant and go. An easy touchdown. It made the score 24-10. That turned out to be the final score as the Eagles lost in the Pacific Northwest.
So the empty formation was just a big staple for that Seattle offense, not just in this game, but really all season long. And I kind of figured that would be the case in this game. And you saw them come out first drive and do it. They did it all the way up through the end of the game. And that was kind of the game-sealing touchdown there to J.D. McKissic. My question for you, Brian, how often were you put in that empty set where you're kind of flexed in it? And what's going through your mind in that kind of situation?
One of the good things that Andy Reid did with me was he found the mismatch. And anytime that I was lined up against a linebacker, we felt that that was a mismatch. We really call it a running back versus a turd, a guy that just hasn't had the ability to check guys in space. And we saw Michael Kendricks, eyes in the backfield. He went for the slant fake. He was allowed a sluggo to go past him. Anytime you have a linebacker out there, that's a mismatch. And, you know, unfortunately, Michael Kendricks bit on the first move.
It was interesting, too, that I thought in the Eagles, they actually ran a little bit of empty last night. Yeah. We haven't seen that a lot from this offense this year. We saw a little bit more in Carson's rookie year. When you're in that empty set as a quarterback, what does that do in terms of kind of simplifying things for you? Because it does make it easy in some ways.
It certainly does make it a lot easier. It makes a defense declare exactly what type of defense you're playing. Is it man-to-man? Then you're going to see the linebacker outside displaced with the running back or a tight end. Is it zone? You can see guys not moving if you go in motion and things like that. It just makes it so much simpler for a quarterback. And when you have a guy like Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz, once they know exactly what the type of defense that you're playing, now they have the advantage. And you saw that last night. Russell Wilson knew exactly where he was going with that football. He knew that coming into the play. You see Michael Kendricks displaced against the running back. Now you have one-on-one. No safety over the top. Let's go to our running back.
Yeah, so we saw that game-sealing touchdown there for J.D. McKissic against this Eagles defense, and we're going to break down much more of this Eagles defense right on the other side, right here on Eagles 360. Now is your chance to vote for the Toyota Player of the Week. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Toyota Player of the Week to cast your vote and get a chance at a brand new Toyota.
1.99 hot chocolate at Dunkin'? That's like a big yummy hug. So hug it up. Hug more. Hug large. Hug medium. Hug that. Live the hug life with 1.99 medium or larger hot chocolate. America runs on Dunkin'.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 Triple Play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
So you love your game? So does he. You say ain't nobody gonna work harder? He said the same thing. You get an hour of training in before the sun even comes up? Plenty of early risers out there. You got the gear? They got the gear. You got a secret weapon? This dude doesn't need one. See, this isn't just a game of inches. This is a game of ounces. And the next ounce you give might just be the one the other guy doesn't. Gatorade. Rehydrate, replenish, and refuel.
No pants.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
Stop!
And welcome back to Eagles 360 again. I'm Fran Duffy, joined by Eagles legend Brian Westbrook. And Brian, let's talk about this Eagles defense, the performance against Seattle. They had a really tough task having to corral Russell Wilson. He only ran for 31 yards. I think his longest run was only 10, but so often he's able to create by, you know, creating pirouetting in the backfield, spinning out of pressure, and finding a receiver downfield.
It seemed like, you know, if for him to only have rushed for 31 yards, it certainly seems like he had a lot more yards than that. Russell Wilson is so good. He's almost a magician at getting out of pressure. The one thing that I knew coming into the game is that we had to contain him. We had to get some pressure on him. And I don't think we did a very good job all night long being disciplined with our defensive end, defensive linemen doing their job, because he was allowed to get outside of the pocket, make plays on with his legs, being able to make plays with his arm. He's not the type of guy that wants to run the ball all the time. He's the type of guy that wants to escape the pressure and then throw the ball down the field. And we saw time after time our defensive line allowed him to escape and throw the ball down the field. That's a recipe for success if you're a Seattle.
Yeah, and one of the things that you kind of see off of that is it's not just the defensive line and trying to keep him contained, but now your guys in the secondary are having to defend these receivers for longer periods of time. And not only does that result in receptions, but also there's penalties. And some of them were ticky-tack calls and all that, but at some point, the coverage is going to break down when he's scrambling in the backfield. Yeah.
Undisciplined play. There was a lot of situations, penalties in the game, where we had to be much more disciplined. And some of them were a little ticky-tacky, but at the same time, for us on the road, in their house, we have to understand that that's going to happen. The other thing you just mentioned is important. When you have a quarterback scrambling around, at that point, guys in the defensive secondary have to cover for so long, and it's hard to do that. I remember when I was a rookie, and Jim Johnson blitzed. Troy Vincent came to the sideline after a long completion and said, listen, if you blitz, I'm only going to cover for 2 seconds. That's all. That's the length of time that I'm expecting to cover because we're expecting the blitz. And after that, if they don't get home on the blitz, which we didn't an awful lot yesterday, then, of course, the advantage goes back to the offense. And we saw a lot of that last night where Russell Wilson scrambling around, making plays with his legs, trying to find receivers open, and he did a good job of that last night.
Yeah, that first touchdown by Seattle really came as a result of Doug Baldwin's huge reception down the field. It came against a cover zero blitz where Rodney McLeod is left isolated on Baldwin. It's a double move. That's a recipe for disaster against Doug Baldwin especially, because he's one of the best route runners in football. well.
You know, when you have a safety covering a very quick, very fast wide receiver, that advantage goes straight to the offense. And it was a tough situation. Again, Russell Wilson understanding and knowing exactly what type of defense that he was getting. He knew where to attack. Great play by the offense. Defensively, we got to figure some things out.
Special teams, Brian, when you look at the kickers, you know, Jake Elliott 1-for-1 on field goals. Donnie Jones, I thought, did a nice job as a punter and got him down on the 10-yard line on a couple of occasions. But the return unit, you had a couple of really good kick returns lined up that came back because of penalties. The first touchback that Kenyon Barton knelt down, I was expecting to see some yellow laundry on the field. Overall thoughts, though, when you watch the special teams back?
Undisciplined play. I mean, as simple as that. I think Dave Phipps is one of the best special teams coaches in the league. But when you have guys that are holding, blocking in the back, doing all those types of things that are setting you back offensively, it's a bad situation because now you got to go 80 yards. I don't care how good this offense is. It's hard to go 80 yards every time you get out there on the offensive side of the ball. It's just hard to do no matter who your quarterback is. And special teams-wise, we cannot lose the field position battle, and I think we lost it last night.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. Eagles fans are obviously a little bit disappointed, but a huge opportunity this week against the LA Rams, and we will start talking about this upcoming matchup on Sunday. Tomorrow on Eagles 360 as we get into our On the Menu with Amorosos. Number one, you're going to have Glenn Mack now with his takeaways from the game. You're going to have Doug Peterson in his one-on-one out from LA with Dave Spadaro, and then also you're going to have Mike Groh, who was in studio with Ike Reese breaking down some film. We'll check out what Mike Groh has to say about his receiving corps. That'll be tomorrow on Eagles 360. After that, though, Brian, I got to say, it was a great first show, the two of us, the first time working together on camera.
You've been doing a great job. I told you that when I first came in. You've been doing a great job. I've been watching the breakdowns with you and Greg. You guys, listen, I'm just happy to be here with you.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Make sure you stay tuned. We're going to have the Eagles update tomorrow morning on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app out from L.A., so get the latest there. And as always, Eagles 360. For Brian Westbrook, I'm Fran Duffy. Fly, Eagles, fly.